Well, happy November 9th, everybody. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and it's nice to have you here. And finally, all the political stuff, basically the election stuff, is behind us. We can get back to more normal television and news and everything else. And congratulations to Joe Biden. We'll just go on from there. Got a nice show with our good friend Todd Mann from the Magnet Schools of America Association. Magnet Schools of America Association. He's going to come on. He's going to talk about a very, very well-attended fall conference they just had, and it was a virtual conference, and the attendance was spectacular. And I've been saying all along that one of the nice things, if there are such things, about the changes we've had to make with the COVID is that all of the conferences have gone virtual, and their attendance has skyrocketed because now there's no hotel and travel fees and all that sort of stuff, and more people are able to go. So we'll talk about Todd and find out what was discussed there as we discuss magnet schools in this crazy age of COVID-19. We're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, our Consortium for Equity in Education website, to which all educators are invited to join for free at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Go over to the website. You'll really, really enjoy the website. We try to bring industry and education together, trying to come up with solutions for equity. All right, we're doing the best we can. And 2021 promises to be even greater for the challenge of equity and as we try to conquer that. So please join in with us. We want your voice, ace-ed.org. And by the way, we tweet over at Access to Equity, ED. That's Access, then the number 2, then Equity, then ED, okay, over on Twitter and also at EduTalk Radio. On LinkedIn, on Twitter, it's at EduTalk Radio. And also LinkedIn is my name, Larry Jacobs. And Facebook is both my name or Education Talk Radio. Friend us, follow us, link with us. Again, I want you to be aware that we do have another Twitter site that's Access to the number 2, Access to Equity, ED. And without further ado, me blabbing, good morning, Todd Mann.
Good morning, Larry.
How are you today,
excellent morning indeed. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. And is it 70 degrees or so down in D.C. or Maryland or wherever you are today?
I'm in suburban D.C. in Maryland, and it's working its way up to 70. Who knows? Go figure.
Let me say the date again, November 9th. Okay, we actually had friends sitting on our front lawn having a glass of champagne yesterday afternoon. It was like 75 degrees here in Maine. Absolutely nuts.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, crazy. Just nuts.
Crazy. Yeah.
And
well,
I hope it continues for the next 6 months, but it won't.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And as I said, the election is behind us. We can all get back to normal thought patterns.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Enough for, on both sides, all the agita and name-calling and everything else. It's enough already. Let's get back to normal. Speaking of getting back to normal, I read today that the vaccine is really promising in the news, okay? 90% so far of the results have been very, very good, is the way they, I think they say it, through Pfizer and all that sort of stuff. So we may get lucky and schools may go back to normal sometime sooner than we think. But with all schools, it's been a crazy year since March. And what's been happening? We're going to talk about your conference, but with magnet schools in particular, are they just facing the same challenges? Or because, you know, they have transportation challenges as well. Just talk about just magnet schools and COVID. Todd Mann, everybody.
Sure. Thank you, Larry.
You know,
magnet schools in many ways have the same challenges as any school, you know, they're under the same auspices of all schools as other school districts because they're public schools and they're under the aegis of the local school board. So whatever the ruling is or guidance coming from the county or the school district, the magnet schools have to follow as well. But you're right, they do have the added challenge of transportation,
which ties in
very nicely into what you're all about, which is a magnet school that's on the other side of the district. If you can't provide transportation, you're not providing access, equitable access to all students.
That's exactly right.
And that's such a key part of what magnets have to do. So the challenge of how do you continue with transportation? And we've talked to transportation companies at our conference that you alluded to. We had a company, a school bus transportation company, talk the conference about how they are providing technology for schools and school districts to be able to space kids out appropriately on a school bus, how they can help track whether kids are negative or positive and tie back to the school.
Yeah.
So it's everybody's having to be inventive and creative to try and keep schools going in whatever way they can, you know.
That's good. And let's give them a plug. What was the name of the school bus company? Do you remember?
Tyler Technologies.
Tyler Technology, are they a bus company?
They are, well, they don't actually provide the buses as much as they provide the technology for tracking the school buses. They're at about 40% of the school districts, I think, something like that.
I'm far from an expert on school transportation,
yeah.
So I don't know them. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And so they've done, they can do attendance on school buses, so as kids hop on a bus so you can track your child or the student to make sure they're on the right bus and they hop off the bus at the correct place. So anyway,
that's pretty cool.
I
didn't know such
important.
A technology
yeah.
existed. I did not know that kind of thing existed. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and especially with you guys,
and
like
they
I said,
actually.
Yeah.
You know, just like when you do, you find you're planning an event and you can put people like, you have an electronic diagram and you can put people at the table, here, somebody's seat. Well, somebody will sit here. Somebody will sit there.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the school bus design. You know, here are the seats that we won't allow people to sit in. And here's where, so and so will get to sit. So you assign seats all the way through.
Did you know this, that the school buses that had that technology? Did you know that?
I didn't know it was available. I had no idea that was out there. And it was such a pleasant thing to find,
Wow.
Come across.
I wrote down the name Tyler Technology. I never heard of anything like that before. That's pretty cool, I got to tell you. And in this day and age, it's so darn important. Besides COVID, just the safety issue and everything else. I think it's great. Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
So can I keep going with one? So we debuted this at our conference that you mentioned earlier at the start of at the top of the broadcast. Another thing we presented at this conference was a company that's connected with Google Earth that gives school. They will come in and photograph a school for you. And wind up, have you ever gone and, done a map and you want to use Google Earth and you go down to street level and there's this little arrow and you can go around the street and see all the buildings around it? They apply the same thing with it in a school. So that if you're a school, as magnets are, they market and need to talk about the school across a school district. And these days you can't have families coming to look at the school. So we presented this to our attendees at this conference as a way to say, here's an alternative. Here's a way to do a virtual promotion of your school. And you can lead, all the folks who are there for your tour. You can walk down the hallway with them visually. They can see all your common area rooms and some of the key classrooms that you want to talk about.
Todd, that's been huge.
That's been huge.
That would be huge, and it seems to me, and I don't know this because, again, I'm not familiar with this market either, but they must be using that in just real estate transactions, okay, to give you a virtual tour of a house that you can't visit right now. Okay.
Yeah, and, it's exactly the same thing.
What company was that?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. People should know. Do you remember the name of that one?
The company is called MIB360. M as in Mary, I as in Indigo, B as in Beauty, 360.
360. Sounds like the next Men in Black movie, MIB360.
I know. I'm sure they keep getting that. I kept saying, change your name. But no, everybody will remember us that way. Anyway, so it's very cool. And we presented it, and there was a standing room only to sign up with this company. And it's affiliated with Google Earth, there is literally a photographer in every town, no matter how small, that's affiliated, because, you know, Google Earth had to go around and be able to photograph every street and all that. So they're there, they go and will do the same thing for your school. So it's a great way to help overcome some of the hurdles you get with due to COVID.
That's fascinating. I gotta tell you that. And I want to bring up something. You segued into something I wanted to talk about. At your fall conference, which just happened in mid October, right? October 15,
yes.
16, 17, right? Okay.
Yes.
And we'll talk about the attendance
That's
in a second, which I know was great. But you had a whole section on marketing and recruitment, and you was put after that COVID-19. Obviously, things changed. I don't know. Magnet schools can be on the other side of town, okay? The performing arts magnet school could be the other side of a large city. Do parents want to send their kids through public transport or whatever, you know, in this crazy day and age, okay? So I'm just curious about that. The market and recruitment section of your conference, MIB must have been the star, but what were some of the other things that came up? Well, how has COVID affected marketing and recruitment beyond that for magnet schools?
Well, they have to completely rethink how they present the school and things that, you know, we all take things for granted. You know, obviously when you're used to doing things in person, and then when you go to say, okay, well, how do we, yes, there's this tour of the school, but you have to have people come onto the screen virtually, you know, which school leaders, which teachers want to come on and talk about the school. It's a whole different animal. How do you talk about, how do you show off your school performers or school athletes? All those kinds of things take on a whole totally different way of doing things. So our marketing and recruitment folks had to really, it's even more important to be able to have that kind of outreach virtually, because you don't know who's going to show up. You know, at least when somebody shows up in person at a recruitment or a marketing event, you can have a chance to really engage and talk to people informally beforehand. So there are all kinds of pressures on with you know, recruitment and marketing that aren't normally there.
Right. It's the whole time right now. It's hard enough for schools, okay? But in reality, if I may, public schools, the generic public school doesn't have to market itself, although it should, okay, because there is competition out there. But you really don't think about marketing when you think about the generic public school. It's the neighborhood school. But when you think about a magnet school, they have to truly think about the marketing. It's really, really something, I got to tell you. And I must say, since I brought this up a minute ago, you know, most of the magnet schools, if not all of them, I don't actually know this, are themed. And I'm thinking science and technology, performing arts, vocational, whatever the case may be. All right? And in this, how is the public reacting to that in COVID times? And how are the schools reacting to the COVID? Has there been any change in terms of the themes of public schools, of magnet schools? I'm curious.
There hasn't been any change in them, but I would say there's more attention within the school to make sure you don't lose your theme. I mean, not really lose it, but that you have to pay more attention to building up the theme. Because when a school has a theme, be it performing arts or IB, International Baccalaureates or STEM, you know, with COVID, it's very easy just to say, hey, look, we're doing the best we can just to keep things going here, you know. But theme is important throughout in a magnet school. And we always preach scream the theme, which basically means, you know, integrate. And
Todd?
It becomes yes.
I lost you for a second.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I get that.
It becomes a little bit more challenging to maintain your, you know, the attention to the theme with everything else that's competing. So
I would think so, and I would imagine. Well, no, actually, I was going to say something, but as I'm thinking about it, I take it back, because you have a STEM school, okay, and a lot of that is lab dependent. You can't get to the lab, okay? Then you have a performing arts school, and that's performance directed, and you can't get together to perform. I'm thinking of like the Stephen Colbert Late Show, where the band performs in little Zoom boxes, okay, at the beginning of the show.
Right.
Okay. And how are they dealing? What do you hear at the conference with that?
It's they're having to get as creative as possible. It's very challenging to instruct performance, for example, virtually, as it is to make sure that if you're in the band, that you make sure everybody is performing on cue and in sync.
Yeah.
So it just adds to the pressure. Likewise, trying to do a science lab virtually. I mean, lab work is very hands-on. And it's very challenging to figure out, okay, how do we do this virtually and still give the kids the same benefit of what they're going to learn in the lab.
And you know, it's so important. I'm going to ask the question, are people concerned? I'm not particularly, but I'm curious if this came up about the future of magnet schools. I mean, suddenly we were hit with a pandemic and everything changed, all right? And, you know, when you're specific to, say, performing arts, we just discussed some of the challenges that perhaps a regular high school would not have, all right? So was there any discussion about the future of magnet schools? Is everybody pretty secure with everything?
I think people are very secure about magnet schools. The pandemic hasn't caused anybody to rethink their value or their worthiness at all. So I don't see magnet schools as being any different than other public schools in the public school system that are, you know, worried about making sure they get funding to continue enabling kids to get to school and to learn, be it remotely or ultimately back in person.
And I must ask this because your conference happened in October. I'm going to surprise you with this question, but what was the thing at the conference that pops out afterwards that, wow, I can't believe that this worked out so well for them? What was the big surprise or something that really affected you when you heard about it, Todd? You're executive director of the association. There must have been something that you thought was just so cool that you heard from somebody. And maybe there wasn't, but I would imagine there might have been.
We had a lot in terms of content of the session. There were a number of sessions related to social and emotional learning. And I think one of the things that stood out was we had a couple of sessions that were focused on teacher self-care, not forgetting that, you know, yes, we have to be concerned about what's happening with our students' emotions during this time. But also teachers. Our teachers are working, you know, double time when they teach virtually. And the attention has to be significantly greater and making sure you're not losing a student because who shows up on the screen but you don't know what else is going on. You don't know what's going on in the student's household while that child happens to be sitting at the kitchen table. Where's that child's sibling? how are they competing for internet? There's so many more things that teachers have to cope with in order to teach. So we did a lot I guess, Larry, you could almost look at it like the message you get when you board the airplane and you're taxiing to the runway, and they say, when the masks come down, put it on your own face first, and then for your child. And it's the same thing. If you don't remember to take good care of yourself as a teacher, you're not going to be as effective with your students.
That's right. And there was I wasn't going to say anything more because that is absolutely true. One thing I'm curious about, and I've heard that attendance has dropped in many schools for obvious reasons. I know everybody who's listening today knows this can happen as kids are more dependent on computers and they're not being there in person. But magnet schools are, quote, if I may, special interest schools. The kid went to the STEM magnet school because they love learning about science, technology, engineering, and math. And I would bet you, and I don't know if you actually know this, I bet magnet schools are having less of an attendance challenge than other schools. Do you know that?
I don't know that either way, Larry, whether that's true. Certainly,
makes sense.
For those students that it would, because, if you got in because of a lottery, which is 75% of the magnet schools admit kids with a lottery, there's a greater value placed on your slot, it's kind of like everybody says, if you put some money into something, you're going to
put skin in the game.
You're more invested.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And for those who test in, you don't want to, as you do in some STEM schools, you don't want to miss that opportunity either. So there is greater skin in the game, but I don't have any data to back that up. It's more intuitive.
Yeah, I think we can go with common sense on that one. I bet there is less challenge with attendance in a magnet school than there is in a non-magnet school. I couldn't believe that just would not be the case. I want you to brag for a minute. You just had the conference. Talk about the attendance.
Sure. Well, thanks for asking. So this fall conference it's a little bit more technically oriented for teachers, and usually we would get maybe 175 in attendance, sometimes 200 on a really good year. So this year we got 1,500 that attend well.
Wow.
Which blew us away. We weren't sure. This was the Magnet Schools of America's first virtual conference that we put on. And, when we said, okay, we're going all virtual, I had one of those moments of, oh, my God, what if we gave a party and nobody came?
And then I started seeing
all the attendants coming. They came, and they came in droves. And then I thought, oh, my God, we have all these people. We better have the technology infrastructure to support this. It's kind of like one of those holy cow moments. Careful what you ask for. We changed a little bit of our pricing structure because we figured, okay, if it's virtual, this is an opportunity for more schools and school districts to get more people to attend that normally wouldn't. And if we can figure out how to price it and put this on in a way that more teachers and school district personnel can attend and they get a taste of what this conference is, then when we go back in person, we increase the likelihood, I would hope, that they'll request travel budget money for the conference.
But travel budget money, hopefully
that'll happen. Yeah.
Yeah, but travel budget money, always money, and it doesn't necessarily be travel. Money is always tight with school districts, and I think next year it's going to be even worse. All right. Because of the tax base, so many people have been out of work. That's no surprise, of course, of COVID, et cetera. And I'm curious about this, Todd. I've talked to a number of associations. Okay, they're telling me their attendance is up, which I think is fabulous. I'm just curious, your executive director of MSA, what's the lesson learned? In other words, we've always been struggling. You had 200 people, come to your conference. That would be a good number. okay, in the past for the fall conference. Now suddenly it blew. So many people obviously wanted to come. Okay, this year they had the opportunity to do it, and it ballooned to 1,500 people. That's fabulous. Congratulations. I think it's going great. Okay, but how does that affect your thinking? And I'm just asking more generically for the future. Because if we go back to that, the school district still won't have the money to send 1,500 people, more than likely. All right? And I'm not trying to be a spoilsport because I know how much fun it is to be at a conference and see your friends and hug and kiss and all that sort of thing and have a drink afterwards. But I think the pandemic kind of showed us some things. What's the lesson learned? Where do we go from here with a conference?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, Larry, is we learned some things that we can do virtually at a conference to enable those who can't participate to attend to participate. So that we learned, and the challenge will be is how do you continue to make that available for those virtually without cannibalizing those who are spending most likely more money to attend in person. Then we also learned, I think, you know, there are a lot of bells and whistles you put on a conference that you think are must-haves, and I can't, you know, in terms of when people are there in person, you think, God, we didn't need, I don't know what we're thinking, we don't need that, but, you know, we did fine without that, you know. So it gives us a chance to rethink those kinds of things. But the real, you know, the ultimate answer is, you know, we have all of one under our belt. You know, I just don't know what the scenario is going to be going forward. I don't know whether we will always have some hybrid opportunities, meaning a mixture of in-person and some virtual ways or not. I just don't know the answer to that. So we're going to have to, it's going to be a while. And to your point is we don't know what the new normal is going to be yet.
Because
the new, you know, the school year that will begin in July 1 of 2021 is likely to be seriously tight because the school budgets were affected for,
of course,
you know, it takes that time to trickle down. So we don't know for sure what we're going to experience.
Yeah, but you should be so proud of yourself because you got you know, obviously your organization means a lot to a lot of people. And a lot, and I'm just using MSA because we're on the phone together right now. And you can take this out to any given association, but a lot of people just can't get to the conference. And I, as I said, the in-person conferences are great. God knows I love them. All right? But look how many more people got all this information, okay, that you guys had and how many people shared, okay, and perhaps met other people, you know, and could talk virtually, et cetera. I really got to congratulate you. You did something right, man. This is just great. It's just great.
Thank you. Thank you. We feel very good about it. Just a really pleasant, a pleasant surprise rather than the opposite kind of surprise. So we were very gratified.
You gave the party and everybody came.
You gave the party and everybody came.
It's simple.
You know, the most important thing, exactly. And the most important thing, Larry, is that the reviews about the content were terrific.
I bet they were.
You know, we gave people a chance to connect. We gave a lot of conversation time virtually, and that mattered to people. So it was just a really good mixture for folks.
Yeah, and so it just proves things we took for granted, quote, the in-person conference, that may need, and not just MSA, everybody, that may need a change in thought patterns as we get more and more people involved and more people learning. It's interesting. One last thing before we go, as you know, this is important to us. We have our magazine, which is our online journal at the consortium called Equity and Access, and you had actually a section of your conference devoted to equity and access and its impact on magnet learning. All right. And Todd, by the way, you're always welcome to write that up for us, and we'll get it into the magazine for you. Okay, that would be something I'm going to offer you right now. We'd be delighted to do that. Okay, for you. But what were the topics of the equity and access? You're welcome, and that's a sincere invitation. What were the topics of the equity and access section? What was discussed, if you remember, or what happened with that?
Well, I think there was a lot more. I think there was a lot more attention given what we experienced with the awakenings that necessarily occurred this summer. With, are we truly being providing access? Are we truly being equitable for all students? Are we truly making it possible for students of all races, of minorities, are we truly making it possible for blacks to attend in ways that we should? Lots of circumspect conversations and presentations related to that. So I would say that theme, equitable access, along with how do you educate through a COVID lens, those were our two overarching themes for this conference.
Yes. And you would be, and again, I'm going to say to you, I mean, you're cordially invited to write something up for the magazine about that, Magna Schools and Equity and Access. We would love it.
We would love that opportunity. Thank you.
The opportunity is there, and I'll send you an email to back up my words. Thanks for being here today, Todd. This was great. I'm so glad
All
the conference
right.
turned
Thank
out super. I'm so glad.
Thank you, Larry. Great to be here.
It's always great to have you. So you take care. Stay safe down in Maryland. We're doing the best we can up here in Maine. Okay?
All right. Thanks very much. Take care.
Thanks, Todd.
Thanks.
You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Todd Mann, everybody, the executive director of Magnet Schools of America. That's magnet.edu. All right? And you can check out what they're doing, et cetera. And they are doing good stuff. And they are going to be one of the things that are going to come out shining from this pandemic. I can guarantee it. Because as you specialize the education of kids with their interests in mind, their attendance, their engagement is going to be that much stronger. All right? And I think their virtual conference was a great idea, and I'm glad it worked out with such high attendance for them. Okay, go over to ace-ed.org and join our consortium. It's free to pre-K-12 educators. Please do that and enjoy our magazine over there, which is an online journal called Equity and Access. And in one of the upcoming issues, we'll have Todd's article in there, I hope. And we're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org as well. Follow us on Twitter over at EduTalk Radio or Access to Equity ED. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. We have another show coming up in about 55 minutes. Thanks for listening.